Hey everyone, this is Stelly FT.
And this is Eden Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about accelerators.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
You know,
incubators.
And incubators.
Because I don't know the difference, do you?
let's talk about this. Well, first
let's just
of all,
get in it. Yeah,
so let's just jump right into it. Well, first, we'll talk about why we want to talk about this subject. Let's talk about that first. Why do we want to talk about this right now? So I'll say one side of it, and then you'll add some more context on your end. I think that our listeners have been asking for it for a while, and it's always been kind of at the top of our list of things to talk about, and for a variety of reasons, we always kind of postponed it and pushed it, and now is the time, and you can tell people why.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing, with my partner, I've been doing a bunch of research on fundraising, and I know we talked about this in a previous episode too, and this keeps coming up, because I'm at 37 interviews, Stelly.
Ooh, shit.
Actually, wait, hold on. 40, and there's still more today and tomorrow, actually.
Okay, so you're interviewing founders about their fundraising experience.
Totally.
Is that correct?
Yeah, doing customer development to learn what actual problems people have with fundraising.
Because you may or may not want to help people in a more dedicated way around fundraising.
You got it. Yeah, the may or may not is correct. Yep.
All right. So if people want to be part of this research, if they have strong opinions or strong experiences, are you still open? How do they get into this pipeline of people that are being interviewed?
Yeah, as of right now, it's actually closed, but you just need to watch my Twitter. I'll probably open it up again. Got some surveying to do and all that fun stuff. But, you know, it's just been fantastic because it's never been this easy to get conversations with people on any topic that I've tried before.
I promise we'll get into the accelerated incubator thing, but I'm just I'm fascinated for a second. So maybe right off the bat, because I can't contain myself, you know, you've talked to a shit ton of founders about fundraising prior to this interviewing thing. You've gone through this, you've invested, raised money. Have you learned something that you didn't already know? And if so, can you tell us about it? Like, what was the... Because the beauty of this is a lot of people in your position would not feel the need to do customer development, right? They would feel like they already know enough to make a judgment call of what the market needs or if your idea is something that would work or not. So I love the humbleness that you bring to the table of going, well, let me talk to these people and figure things out. But then I'm curious, did you learn something truly new, or was it just about reconfirming what you believed in?
A lot of it was validation for a bunch of hypotheses. But this is like, if you're trying to solve a problem, it's better to go and actually make sure that it's really a problem. So we could have made up all these things we knew about fundraising. Even my partner Maureen and I, we have helped people with their decks already together even. And then we decided to do this research. And probably the most surprising thing, and it's only one really, really surprising thing, and it probably isn't that surprising to most people, but the fundraising process, even if you're an experienced founder, is daunting. And it's one where every single person says, I'm fundraising, but I want to get back to my business.
Yeah.
And you know how we feel about when people say shit like that, right? It's like, wait, you're not working on your business? What do you mean you can get back to your business? That's bullshit. But like everybody said that. So it's one of those where I didn't want to believe it. I try to tell people, hey, you should be focused on your business. Regardless of fundraising, and they seem to always get caught up in it. And that the pain, the how easy it was to get the interviews, how there's a varying amount. It's not like we got all these interviews and they're all businesses that shouldn't be funded. You know, there are tons, at least I would say a third to half or more that will get funding, out of the ones that we talked to. And then there are a lot that were just too early or not enough revenue yet, or, you know, all kinds of different things. But yeah, it's amazing at how many people feel distracted by fundraising.
I love it. All right. So we'll talk, we might talk a bit more in future episodes about raising money and fundraising, since it's kind of fresh right now and it's in the middle of a big project that you're working on. Coming back to the original focus on fundraising today, which is, let's talk a little bit about accelerators and incubators. You asked the question, is there a difference between an incubator and an accelerator? I mean, maybe, right? I think, if I'm not totally mistaken, that originally, and these terms I think are being misused at times, so people will label it differently in different contexts. But as far as I understand, incubators originally, to my knowledge, would mean, an incubator would mean that this is a place where companies are being started. And it could even be to the degree where, you know, all of the companies are owned by a single entity that are being started, or all ideas are being generated by a small group of people, but then they're being executed on by different teams. It's kind of incubating different ideas and starting them from scratch, versus an accelerator by its name. And, you know, you might start with zero, but very likely there's already an idea, there's already something, even if it's tiny or small. And the idea is, while you're going through that experience, that idea is being accelerated. So you're taking a startup at the very early stages, and you're trying to run it through a process that will kind of mature it much faster than it would on its own. So I don't know, that will be my understanding of the two different terms and what they mean.
Yeah, that's I think about accurate. The funny thing is, you know, it's unclear to many people what the difference is. So it's good that you kind of shed light on that. I think there are examples of incubators. I would say that Bill Gross at Idea Lab from back in the day, this is just a LA sort of, you know, original incubator, I would say. Yep. I think he was in LA the whole time. I don't remember though. And he created the thing that turned into Yahoo Ads, which ended up being also Google Ads and all this stuff. But he basically sold Overture to Yahoo so they could compete with they weren't even competing with Google at the time. It was a precursor to AdWords, which is one of the, probably the largest business on the web in terms of ads, right?
Yeah.
So, and that was out of incubation. And then there's a bunch of other newer things like Expa, which I would say is more of an incubator, less of an accelerator, because they bring people in. It's a lot of it's the people's ideas that actually run Expa. And I'm sure there's a bunch more. And usually those aren't ones that you necessarily get into in the same way that you get into an accelerator.
Yeah, and in Europe, very famously, you could probably call Rocket Internet, the Somewhere Brothers venture, an incubator in the sense that they pick ideas from around the world and they put together management teams and they kick things off. They're like, I think today, a lot of times, there's even the term company builder, which is kind of like this thing between an incubator and an there's different flavors.
There's another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's different flavors. I know of a few firms in Europe that call themselves company builders, which basically is they have a small fund and they have a lot of access to talent and ideas, and they come up with the stuff they want to do, but then they very quickly raise money for that thing and put together a management team or founding team for that thing and then kick it off. So they're basically like, we're going to do the early customer development, figuring out what should be done or not, what the idea should be, the logo, the name, incorporate. We'll quickly get like put $500,000 of money in there, and then we go and put together 3-4 people that fit the description and make them we're going to create this business out of nothing and then push it out of the out of our offices and help them raise the next round, and then off they go. But anyways, let's not get too technical. There's definitely a difference between you have a startup and you want to go into a program that's going to help you accelerate your growth, raise more money, launch, whatever it is, grow the business, versus there's a team, there's an organization, there's a structure in place that churns out ideas and companies. And you might be an employee there, or you might go and work there, but it's a very different thing. So I think for our audience, the most interesting part is going to be, we're going to want to zero in a little bit more on the accelerator part of this, right? Because the question that I get asked a lot is, you know, so as background, maybe, you know, I know both you and I are involved with lots and lots of accelerators. and different investment firms. I'm a mentor at a bunch of stuff. So are you, I know for sure. We went through Y Combinator. That's the only accelerator that we've gone through ourselves. But because of that, and I've written about this, there's a few articles I wrote on how we kind of hacked our way into Y Combinator and how to prepare for an interview there. These articles are pretty popular. So every new batch, I get a huge amount of emails from people asking me a ton of questions about our experience and if they should go or not, and then how to get in. And so I do have a bunch of ideas on this, but my general advice, and let's start with that. There's the big question lots of people have. There's two big questions. One is, should we try to get into an accelerator or not? Like, is it worth it or not? Should we do it? Should we try it? That's one big question I see. And the other big question is, how do we get into one, right? So let's, maybe if you're up for it, let's look at these two questions and see what we think about them. For the first one, should we try to go into an accelerator? What was our experience going through an accelerator? My answer is an answer that the two of us give often, which is, it depends.
Of course it depends.
It depends. I don't know. Like, I can't just say, universally the answer is yes or no. I mean, that would be stupid. I typically tell people that there's vast differences between accelerators. I think there's a big drop off. There's a few of them that I think create a lot of value. And then there's probably a pretty big drop off, and all the other ones, there's a lot of them that probably create some marginal value, and then there's probably the majority of them that create zero value or even destroy value. So it depends. I don't think you can just ask, is an accelerator worth it or not? I think it depends on which accelerator we're talking about, and it depends on, obviously, the stage of your company, the maturity of your company, and what you want to get out of it. So that's like something that people need to ask themselves. And if you're applying for an accelerator that's not kind of top three in the world, then you have to, I would really do my due diligence. And we did an episode, just the last episode that we released was about last week, was about how to do due diligence on investors and on employees. And I would do the exact same thing with an accelerator. Who are the people that are running this program? What's the credibility? Have they successfully invested before? Have they successfully founded companies before? A lot of times, a lot of these accelerators have people that have corporate backgrounds. They've never really invested successfully, and that doesn't mean that they can't put an amazing program together and it can't be worth it. But the chances are just much lower. So I'd be cautious. What are your thoughts on, should somebody try to get into an accelerator? What's the right stage? What's the right time to do it? What's the right motivations in your experience?
Yeah, I think you should do it when the time is right, and if you're past a point, there might be no point in doing it. And so if you're pretty early in your product and have some gaps that you really, want to know about, whether it's want to learn more about startups, could use a kick in the ass to like get moving in a short period of time. Also access to investors has been a big deal. Like if you have the YC brand or even the 500 startups or AngelPad brand, that's better than having no brand behind you, a moderate traction, let's say. If you have great traction, you might not want to consider even going into these things because you might be able to skip it, so to speak, and raise money, sort of directly from early stage investors or something like that. One of the reasons you might want to join, though, is if you're just not in an area that's very startup friendly and you want more sort of this like absorption of all these startups around you and learning a lot about the startup game, so to speak. But then you still have to choose the accelerator wisely because not everyone can get into YC, right? Which is the top accelerator.
Yep.
Not everyone's like you, Sally, and can hustle their way in. Yeah. Right?
It only took me 6 years. So, yeah, so not everybody can be as talented as I am.
Yeah, exactly. And, in my case, I've even seen 500 startups start in the first place. And, not everyone can get in there either, but a lot of people try to apply. And there are obviously, just like everything else, is more applications than people that are let in. I mean, we were talking to folks that applied multiple times to some of these accelerators. And so, yeah, I think high level, it's like you want to really think about your business, what stage it's at, whether you're really early or not, and then what you need. So I think early or not is one thing I would start with, which is like if you're super early, relatively early, have a couple people on your team, hopefully an engineer, By the way, most of these accelerators want to see two partners, at least two co-founders. I can already guarantee that, because that's been feedback I've heard from these interviews, actually, but also from the accelerators themselves. So that's something you should know, which is have a co-founder. Ideally, one of them is technical. They also prefer that. You know, now there are hacks, so to speak. They're not really hacks, but it's like, oh, you got really far with a product. Don't have a technical co-founder, or your business is a little different. Sure, but those are exceptions. The rule is there's co-founders, so there's more than one of you, and one of them's an engineer, right? So I think there's a bunch of criteria like that. You want to just list some of those things out?
Yeah.
Those are the couple I got.
So let me sneak in one more thing, and then let's go criteria that they're looking for and hacks or tips on how to get into one, right? So the thing that I want to sneak in is, and we mentioned a bunch of these already, is like, what can you get out of it? Like, what's the main reasons for wanting to get into one? And I think you mentioned some really good ones, like, you know, having a sense of community, right? Being surrounded by the founders at a specific set of time, which is very unusual, which is everybody's just starting a new company at the same time and going through those different stages together. That's a great sense of like community and being able to relate to others and being able to get advice and help one another. It's something that you won't find anywhere else. No matter how experienced you are, most of your friends will be at different stages in their career and in what they're doing with a startup. So an incubator can bring a great sense of community to you and like help you with that. An accelerator can give you access to experts, mentors, capital, a press, PR. Sometimes even access to talent. We used YC to try to recruit heavily, right, and convince people to join our team because we were going through YC and we were getting some people at YC to vouch for us and talk to these people for us. So it can give you great access to kind of mentors and investors and press and help you in recruiting and help you in some significant things. I think the two major things that you'll always get out of the incubator are, if it's accelerator, if it's a good one, in the early days, it's helping you make the early day decisions on customer development, on moving really fast, on looking at data and making decisions. Is this working? Isn't this working? Do we need to pivot? Do we need to change? On brainstorming new ideas for how to grow this thing. So in the very early days, especially if you're not experienced launching new things and launching them really fast, I think an accelerator can be really, really helpful. And then the other thing is raising money, as you said. I think accelerators, if they're the best of them, they just make the fundraising problem much smaller because they create these big demo days where they bring in all the investors. They create an instant market. All investors know that every other investor is looking at this right now in time, and many of them will make the decision to reach out and want to fund this. So if you're interested as an investor, you really have a force function to move fast. And when you have a big brand like Y Combinator or 500 startups, there's an instant premium. There's an instant range of how much investors will want to pay for this because you have that brand, and that kind of makes a big difference. I always joke that if you had the exact same startup, the exact same founders, everything is equal, and in the slide deck you just change the logo. One had Y Combinator on it, one had 500 startups on it, one had AngelPen, and the other had nothing. And it was the exact same company, same slide, same everything. It would create different valuations at the end of it for the investors in terms of how much money and what kind of valuation they would want to put that money in. So that's a real benefit, but only if you're in the top ones. If you're at any other one, it probably makes very little difference in some cases on what they can do for you there. Any benefit that I've forgotten that I didn't mention?
No, I think you covered them all. Yeah.
All right. Let's loop back then. Yeah. Let's talk then how to get in and what are they looking for. So you mentioned having a technical team or having some technical co-founder, not being a single founder. There's exceptions to every rule, but if you're a single founder, it will put you in a bucket of very unlikely to be accepted in an accelerator just because of their pattern recognition and kind of past experiences. So those are two big ones. I think that in the top accelerators, because they're so competitive, because so many people want to get in there, it has gotten harder and harder to just get in with an idea. So they want to see some level of traction more so than I think just pure traction is they want to see the ability for you to, for you and your team to execute really fast and really scrappy. So if, even if the idea is just 3 weeks old, if you can show that in 3 weeks you've done a lot and you're moving really, really fast, that's a good signal. But in general, I think more and more startups that get accepted into YC, I know for sure, because I'm looking at these applications, there's just more and more of them that have already launched, already gotten growth, have already revenue, raised already a bunch of money. Like, they got already some press. Like, the competition's just getting harder and harder, where it used to be people with just an idea to then people that had already built a version one of their idea to now people that have already launched that version one and gotten some traction, revenue, funding, press, something, or maybe all of these things. So you wanna showcase that you can execute, move really, really fast, that you're scrappy, that you're resourceful in whatever way possible you can. That's what an accelerator will always look for. If you just say, here's my idea and I had this 6 months ago and I'm now waiting to be accepted by you, that's an instant rejection right there.
Yeah, I can't stress your point enough. I mean, I don't think we can stress it enough, which is you have to think about who you're competing with.
Yep.
Right? Because you're competing. This is an application process. And if other folks have, you know, product market fit already and they've got revenue and customers, you don't, what do you got? Right? What's going to get you in there? I think that's a key point. It's one that actually came up in the interviews too, which is that a lot of people didn't understand that piece of it, of who they're competing with when they're trying to get into the accelerators.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, right? You always just think about your startup and your dreams and what you want, and you fantasize about being accepted to a top accelerator and how that will change your world. But you forget that it's an application process, which means you are fighting for a finite amount of slots against a huge amount of other companies. How can you stand out? How can you display and communicate the story that it's worth investing in you, it's worth giving you that slot? And doing that by having a good, a strong team makes a big difference. Having an idea that seems exciting or sound makes a big difference. But the thing that will always make the biggest difference is just traction, showing that you know how to execute, that you move fast, communicating that this is happening and you are going to make this a success with or without this accelerator is always going to be the most attractive thing to, you know, because you're already proving yourself before the fact. You're showing me that you can do all these things before I've even given you the money or before I've even given you my help. So then I think, well, if you can do all these things even without my help, if I help you and if I give you money and if I give you access to resources, how much more can you do? And that's, I think, the exciting, that's where magic happens. When an accelerator looks at a startup and thinks, these guys are killing it, and if we give them our, if they get into our program, it's going to be even bigger, faster, greater. That's what they're looking for. Not, these people are struggling, but if they only got into our accelerator, we will help them not struggle anymore and do well. Nobody wants to do that. So think about your competition. Think about how to show. And that's actually a good thing, because it makes you focus on getting traction versus anything else. All right, so maybe we give one more tip on how to get into an accelerator, one from you and one from me, and I'll start. I'll give my tip for the end of the episode here in terms of getting into an accelerator. First of all, listen to our previous episode on, and it was literally the episode we released last week on due diligence. Because you should do your due diligence on the incubator you want to get into. But once you, if you already established that your startup could benefit from an accelerator and that the accelerator you want to apply to would be the right one for you, then one tip that I'll give, one hack in order to get in there, is to reach out to startups that have gone through the accelerator, founders, both recently, so the ones that went through the last batch. Reach out to a bunch of founders there and tell them, hey, we're thinking about applying. Can I just grab 10 minutes of your time, buy you lunch, or just get a little bit of advice and feedback? And you'll see that a lot of these people will be willing to give you their time. And then you can also reach out to some that have been gone through the program maybe a few years removed, or that are some of the big success stories or some of the big failures, and just learn from the experience. But what you'll do is, what you'll find out is that founders that go through a certain accelerator, they learn, they are pretty intimately familiar with the way that that accelerator thinks, and the way that that accelerator, what makes, constitutes somebody being a culture fit or not, and what is an idea that the accelerator the team would get excited about or not. So they can be a great proxy for giving you advice and giving you feedback on how to change your application, what they like about what you're doing versus what they don't like. So they can be a good sounding board, and their thoughts will not always be perfect, but they'll be pretty close to what the top people at that accelerator probably will think. And if you get positive feedback through founders that went through the program and they really love what you do and they think you'd be a great fit, you can ask for a referral or recommendation, and that can make a huge difference. I know that we got into YC purely by the fact that we did exactly this. I reached out to a shit ton of YC founders and we met with a bunch of them. And a few of them that were fairly influential really liked us. And they sent emails to Paul Graham telling them that we should get accepted or we should at least get interviewed because they think that our team would be a perfect fit. And it was one of those emails that prompted PG to reply and say, hey, I'm trying to watch your video and I'm looking at your application. The video doesn't work and this doesn't work. Can you share some more details here? And we sent them over to him immediately. And then he said, all right, cool. You're going to be invited to an interview. So we know very directly that one of these recommendations, you know, opened the door for us. So that would be my hack and my recommendation. Reach out to founders that have gone through the program, get their opinion, their feedback. And if they like what you do, ask them to recommend you to the team over there. That'll make a big difference.
Well, brilliant hack. And tip, which I think people probably don't use very much. And so everyone should reach out to Steli, right?
Exactly. If you listen to this podcast, I would not encourage people to do this anymore at any other outlet, but I'm getting to the point where it's we're managing the amount of people reaching out to me is the job in itself. But when it comes to the listeners of the Startup Chat, yes, if you're listening to this episode and you want to apply to an accelerator, reach out to me, steli@close.io. I'll help.
Boom. Okay. So how do I top that tip? It's all I've been trying to think about since you started talking about it because I was ready. So accelerator. I got a tip. We didn't talk about this and there's probably more, but I'll just go with my tip first. Be careful which ones you apply to that are not the kind of famous ones. And I mean, if you're applying to something besides YC, 500 Startup, AngelPad, or TechStars, make sure you understand what the terms are, what you're giving up, what you're getting, and also very specifically, what's the value add beyond just their money and the space or any of the basics that they're offering. Just because I've heard some stories, and they're doozies of stories, where some of these accelerators are really bad. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But if they're not one of the famous ones, then doing the diligence Steli just described is even more important. And if it's a new one, negotiate hard on what you give up and on what you get.
Yeah, this is a really good one. Look at the people, right? I mean, if you're the first batch, then take a really hard look at the team behind it. I mean, think about the team behind 500 Startups, Dave McClure, and what he had done prior to starting 500. Think about the team behind Y Combinator, right? The writing of PG, the company that started, the team behind it. These were people that were known in a certain circle that accomplished some significant stuff that was relevant. I think too many of the incubators that a lot of times when founders reach out to me and I ask about the accelerator they want to get into and they tell me it's a first time accelerator or it's an accelerator about this or that, I ask about the team behind it, and a lot of times those teams have corporate backgrounds or have backgrounds that are not, these people haven't started startups themselves and they don't have a track record of investing successfully in startups. So then it becomes really tough to imagine that they're going to do a great job running an accelerator, even if they're well-meaning. There are exceptions. I've been in an accelerator in, I will not name, a very tiny country in Europe recently. And I've been super impressed that the founding team behind it, you know, they were entrepreneurs, but they were in real estate in that country. And they put together a great team, as far as I can tell. They had some really good startups, and it seems like they're doing an exceptional job. But it is a huge exception. The rule will be if they don't have founding experience, and they don't have investing experience, if they're not known entities, I would either shy away from it. That's probably what I would do. And if you're really convinced that you need to be part of it, do what Heaton says and negotiate hard. Don't give up too much because what you're going to get in return is very, it's a big unknown.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I think that's it from us on this episode. We'll hear you all very soon.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. One more thing.
Yeah.
I'm never doing this. We're never doing this in episodes, but we need to. And I would be screaming at others, at other people's podcasts, if they didn't. So let's give people a call to action. And in this episode, it's if you like the Startup Chat, if you're listening to it, if you enjoy it, even if you don't, I mean, if you have an opinion, here's what I really want to say. If you have an opinion about the Startup Chat, do us a favor, do us a solid, and go to iTunes and give us a review. Good or bad, doesn't really matter. We'll take a look. We'll try to learn. The more reviews we get, the more feedback we get from you, the better we know what to do and how to make this podcast even more valuable. But the more reviews we get, the more people will discover the podcast and the bigger the community will get. So please, if you're up for it, we'd highly appreciate you give us a review and a rating on iTunes.
Yeah, hook us up.
All right. Thanks. That's from us.